Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff. Today, I want to talk about letting go of submissions against upper belts. This is a really interesting topic. I hadn't really thought about it until a couple of weeks ago. I saw this posted originally on Reddit, and then Brandon re-asked this on his Facebook group, BrandonMC.Ninja. I was really shocked by how many people say they've let go of submissions over the years against upper belts. The most common reason that everybody listed was because of the upper belt's ego. Some people threw temper tantrums when they got submitted, so they felt it was just best if they got a submission, or if they got a look at a submission, to just let it go or bypass it. Some people got them there and they just wouldn't tap. They just kept trying to find any little inch, and they thought that if they continued to apply it, that upper belt would get hurt. And the original poster on Reddit that I saw was a white belt, and he was rolling with one of his purple belt teammates. He caught that purple belt in a deep submission. The purple belt wasn't respecting the submission. They were not tapping, and the white belt felt it was best to just let it go. He did not want to injure his teammate, and so he just let it go. And he wanted to know, is this common? Had anybody else experienced this? And what to do when a upper belt is not tapping to a submission. Now, I'll start by saying for myself with this topic that I can't really relate. I have never, ever, to my recollection, let go of a submission against an upper belt. So when I was a white, blue, purple, and brown belt, I never did that once. I'm not talking about flow rolling or doing slow rolls with an upper belt. I'm talking about if we were actually rolling to the submission, I cannot remember getting them there and then letting them go. Like if I got a submission, I was going to continue to apply forces to make my opponent quit. If they did not quit, then they would go to sleep or they would end up taking a pop. Now, I've talked about this a bunch before. Honestly, people very, very, very rarely get catastrophic injuries from submissions. It's almost always from scrambles or some freak thing or from takedowns, like weight falling. And the amount of injuries I've seen over the years due to joint locks are just so small. Like the person either has to be like holding on, or it has to be some type of like existing injury that just gets worsened by the joint lock. Now, I took a catastrophic injury. I think for like everybody at 10th Planet Decatur, I mean, I think I'm one of the only people that has taken a really, really bad injury from a joint lock. But that was my own fault. I was not tapping. I've talked about this a few times on the podcast. There was a period, late blue belt, early purple belt, where I wanted to be the best in the world. I wanted to win ADCC. And I'd made up in my mind, because I'd been watching the Meows and the Mendez brothers, and I saw they didn't tap to submissions, like joint locks, and so I just wasn't tapping to them either. So during training, guys would give me an arm bars, and I wasn't tapping to them. So it wasn't an arm bar that got my arm really, really hurt and tore my UCL. It was me not tapping to 20 arm bars, and it was the 20th arm bar that caused the really, really bad damage. So that's a little bit different. But I've just always assumed over the years that everybody was rolling like I was. That if they got a submission, they were going to try and finish. And that it was my responsibility to tap. If I was in any danger, I know that I can just tap. That is the first lesson I think we all learn in jiu-jitsu. It comes before the shrimping. It comes before the first roll. I've heard this a bazillion times. I've told this to a bazillion different people. You need to tap. Tap early, tap often, and you will be able to train for the rest of your life. If you do not do that, you will have a very, very short jiu-jitsu journey. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about newbies, brand new guys, guys that have been training 6 months or a year, white belts. We have to take care of those people. If they're not tapping to a submission, it's best to move on. If you're going with a guy that's been training 3 weeks, you get them in a straight ankle lock and they start spazzing out. Well, you don't follow that movement, end up belly down, and then just start hipping in trying to break their leg. I mean, they might not even know how to tap. But in my opinion, if you are a blue, purple, brown, and black belt, it is your responsibility. You know how to tap. You've rolled hundreds, if not thousands, of rounds, and you should be experienced enough to recognize when you are in deep, deep waters and when you need to tap. And if you do not, then you're going to suffer the consequences. And I just honestly don't really have any sympathy for upper belts that don't tap due to ego, or it's almost always ego. And I just don't have any sympathy for that. For myself, when I think back of the times that I didn't tap at purple belt and blue belt, I was like, man, I'm an idiot. I needed to learn those lessons. My ego was out of control. I didn't want to tap to a lower belt because of whatever reason. I thought it said something about me. I thought it said that I could never become a world champion. Like, world champions don't tap to blue belts. I'm a purple belt. That's just stupid, stupid way of thinking. And I injured myself. It wasn't that person. It was my own ego that got me hurt. And I think you guys should have that same perspective. That purple belts, especially purple, brown, and black belts, should know how to defend themselves and should know that the best way to defend yourself is to tap. That stops everything. Any discomfort, any pain is all ended with the tap. Now, I do think there is a misconception. I think there are times that less experienced grapplers, especially like white and blue belts, think they might have an upper belt in submission that they actually don't have. They let go of submissions too soon. They don't apply those extra pressures. So maybe this white belt, he thought he had his purple belt teammate in a deep submission, and maybe he didn't. Maybe he wasn't as deep as he thought he was. Now, this is really, really common. One of the best defensive tools is patience, especially for chokes. You'll be shocked how many people tap to chokes just really due to panic, and that a lot of times when your teammates get you in that choke, there is just a little bit of room. There is a little bit of space to survive. We have a guy, Keelan Lawyer, one of the founders of the PGF, him and Brandon founded the PGF, and he's the camera guy, but he's a very, very, very talented brown belt. He's very good. And he is one of the toughest guys to put away, especially with chokes. He's just so good at finding those little inches. And I think there might be times maybe a lower belt goes, Keelan's just being difficult. Or, somebody else is being difficult. This upper belt's being difficult. I've got the rear naked choke. Well, when they start to squeeze and nothing happens, the person doesn't fall asleep, they slowly start to lose confidence. And that's something I've noticed, is that there have been times people have gotten deep submission attempts on me, again, particularly the chokes, whether it's a Darce, an Anaconda, a rear naked choke, whatever it is, that if they squeeze for 5 seconds and I don't tap and nothing happens, they'll almost always move on. I can feel the doubt start to creep in. They'll squeeze. And in their mind, the chokes are supposed to work instantly. Submissions are supposed to work instantly. And most of the time, in most cases, they do. When they catch people around their rank, or if they're a year white belt and they're rolling with a new guy, if they get him in a rear naked choke, they almost tap immediately. And so when they roll with me and I don't, it really throws them off. And so they'll just assume they don't have it. Or maybe they're doing what this gentleman in the post is saying. He's saying, I had this black belt in a submission and he didn't tap, so I decided to let it go because, his ego was out of control. And, I didn't want to hurt him, or I didn't want to put him to sleep. And so now I'm starting to think, I'm wondering, how many people over the years have thought that that was happening? And maybe that was. Maybe somebody really did have a submission on me that I didn't know. But I'd rather know. I'd rather get put to sleep. Because like I said, my track record's so good. I've only been put to sleep truly one time, and that was at white belt. The last time I got really hurt from a joint lock was 6-7 years ago. So I'm betting on myself that I know when to tap and not to tap. So if some guy's trying to break my leg, I've been in a million foot locks. I'm pretty sure that I know what the difference between true breaking mechanics and pressure feels like compared to not. And so if a white belt gets my leg and he's just like, look, I got this straight ankle lock, and he starts ripping on it, there's been so many times I've just laid there because they didn't really have it. They didn't really know how to finish a leg lock. And you might be doing yourself a disservice and even your teammate a disservice if you're having those thoughts. Like, you should just continue to apply the pressure. What's the worst that's going to happen? You pop their foot. Look, their foot will be sore for a week or two, but you're not going to just break the bone in their leg. That's not what happens. Like I said, it's never happened. So I apologize if you do take this advice and you try this once, like, okay, I've got this straight ankle lock and this purple belt's not tapping again. Well, apply more force. I think you'll be shocked at how many times you actually do not have that submission. I think you'll be shocked, but I could be wrong. Now, there is something that I got to say, okay? Because the ego, it's a real thing. You know, people say all the time, like, leave your ego at the door and all that stuff. That's bull. You can't leave your ego at the door. And we all have varying levels, of ego. You know, there's healthy egos and then there's unhealthy egos. And we're all kind of balancing that line. Sometimes I find myself with an unhealthy ego. And I have to check myself, or somebody has to check me. I have to get humbled a little bit. And here's the thing with an upper belt. And this is something I can say. So while I can say that I never let go of a submission against an upper belt, I can say that I've done this. That if a lower belt did tap me, or if a lower belt got closer to tapping me, I rolled harder with it. And I'm not proud of it. All right. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. It's just what I did. I mean, I was a young competitor. And so, yeah, if I was a purple belt and a blue belt got close, you know, they jumped on a guillotine or they jumped on a toe hold and they got close to tapping more, they did tap me. Well, you best believe I was going harder the rest of that round and I was going to try and get that back. And you should just kind of expect that. That's probably what's going to happen. If you get close, especially if you're not like an intimate training partner of that upper belt, if you're not training day in and day out with them, if it's just, man, okay, you know, there's this purple in my gym, we roll a couple times a month, well, there's a good chance that that purple belt's going to come at you harder. Now, he's not going to try and hurt you or anything, but he might try and tap you 3 or 4 or 5 times after that to kind of, make themselves, it's an ego thing. They're trying to put you back in your place, and they're trying to put themselves back in the place that they believe they are. Because it's tough, man. When you're a purple belt and a white belt catches you or taps you, it's tough. You know, that does something to your confidence. And so almost immediately you feel like you have to go out and prove that, look, I was just slipping. I let them get too deep. That you're going to make a couple of excuses for yourself, and you're going to try and make up that submission by submitting them 3, 4, 5, 6 times, as many times as you can. You know, and then you'll shake and bump and move on. But you're like, man, okay, yeah, that person tapped me, but then I tapped them 4 times after that. Or maybe you catch somebody at the end of a round. Well, yeah, you can almost expect, like, that upper belt's probably going to be eyeing you the next training, next like open mat or next training session, y'all are both at, and he's going to be wanting that round. He's going to be wanting that round, especially when he's fresh, and he's going to maybe try and put it on you. So that's pretty common. Like I said, I was really, really bad about that. I can just remember dozens and dozens and dozens of times of like, oh man, this, you know, blue belt passed my guard and they almost armbarred me, or they grabbed a guillotine, or they did a rolling toe hold, you know, and they found the toe hold. They tapped me with the toe hold and I'm a purple belt, and it's like, all right, well, I'm going to come back at them and I'm going to try and get that back. So again, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it's just part of it. And you can't leave the egos at the door. You know, if you're trying to become some Zen monk and you're just going to lay there and you're like, look, I don't care if I win or lose. Well, you're never going to get good at jiu-jitsu. You'll learn some really cool aspects of the art, but you'll never truly get good at jiu-jitsu. You've got to be competitive. You've got to want to win. You've got to want to represent yourself the best that you can. And I think that's super important. So try not to let go of submissions against upper belts. You should go for the finish. I'd expect that. I expect that when I train with guys. Now, I'm not practicing deep, late stage escapes with people I don't really know or people I don't really train with a lot. So if it's a student that I train with, you know, once every 2-3 months, Well, that's not the guy I'm going to be practicing my new armbar escapes with. They catch me in an armbar, I'm going to try the escapes that I'm good at, and if I can't, I'm going to tap. And that's worked really, really well for me over the years. So, look, guys, in conclusion, if you are a colored belt, it is your duty to tap. You should not be mad at anybody, especially if you're rolling hard and they catch you in a legal submission and they cause some damage. Now, obviously, if you tap and if they hold on for 3 seconds after, that's a whole nother issue. But that is super, super, super rare. I mean, over the years, that happens very, very, very rarely. But if you're a colored belt, you have to protect yourself. And you know that. I don't need to tell you that. White and blue belts. You need to know. Oh, man, I've got this guy in a deep guillotine. He's just not tapping, so I'm just going to move on. Well, look, the worst that's going to happen is you put him to sleep. And if you really feel like it's that deep, you're going to be super aware. And you're going to know if he goes to sleep. I mean, you would have to be an idiot to not. I mean, you'll feel them go limp. And you'll just let go, and they'll wake right back up. It's no big deal. But I think you're going to find there's going to be times that you thought you had an upper belt and you actually don't. Man, this upper belt just doesn't tap to my straight ankle locks. Well, maybe it's because you're actually not very good at straight ankle locks. No, man, I tap other people. Well, you're tapping other white belts. So maybe that purple belt's just not feeling the pressure. He knows, he or she knows what really good breaking mechanics feel like. And I'm sure, you know, myself, I mean, by the time I was a purple belt, I had my feet popped a couple of times by really good straight ankle lock. So I definitely knew the difference between a dangerous straight ankle lock and a non-dangerous, especially now as a black belt. I mean, I know. I mean, I am very, very, very in tune with breaking pressure on joint locks and non-breaking pressure on joint locks. And so there's times, man, especially with my feet, it's like, dude, try and break my leg. Because, I mean, very, 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 very few people can apply a proper straight ankle lock. So don't be the guy that counts submissions in your head. You're like, oh, I tapped that upper belt. He just didn't want to tap because of his ego. It's like, I don't know. If he didn't tap, he didn't tap. Go for the submission. Till next time, guys, I love and appreciate you. Peace.